Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, of course, the big conversation, because everything really centers around the way forward. Will a second phase of the ceasefire be reached? Is it possible? There is a huge amount of effort going on all sides in terms of, well, certainly America and the United America and Israel. I'm not sure about Hamas really, because we can't know. The question is, how successful will it all be? Kori Bardash is the co-chair of the Republic Party in Israel. Kori, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So, of course, we've had this a little bit of confusion around Adam Boehler on the one side talking directly to Hamas. He had one meeting there. We've got the other initiatives happening in Doha, a meeting in Saudi Arabia. Can you pull all of this together for us to try and understand what is actually happening?
Sure. It certainly looks a little confusing. So there's a few different lanes going on. On one hand, Steve Witkoff is the Middle East envoy that has been Trump's envoy to Israel and on the hostage negotiations originally, and putting into effect the plan that had be the two-tier system, phase one and then phase two. Phase one ended, and now we're in this no man's land of trying to either extend to the next phase, phase two, or extend phase one, like phase one plus.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the dynamics have changed in Israel during the first phase.
Right.
Everybody has seen how the hostages have been released. The emaciated position of them. Everybody saw how the Bibas family was returned in sheer brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some hardening of positions on both sides. At the same time, Trump has, you know, put forward his plan of the future of Gaza.
Right.
With the international, or to the Arab community globally, also trying to counter that with something else.
Right.
Trump, in Trump's imitable fashion, there is a role in America, somebody who's the chief hostage negotiator, not just in Israel in this mm-hmm. situation, but hostages all around.
Right.
It seems as if he was tasked with trying to enter the conversation and met for the first time directly with Hamas members. This was, you know, with Trump's blessing.
Of course.
And he's always somebody who, and Trump is somebody who always like tries to get the deal done. So it was sort of like a trial balloon. Israel reacted very strongly against it. Israel, it's been reported, has not been in the, aware of it.
Right.
Adam Boehler had said some very, very troubling things during his meeting with Hamas. And just last night, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, sort of dismissed Boehler's meeting with them by saying it was a one-off, didn't bear any fruit, and doesn't look like it will be proceeding on that realm. And Witkoff is already on his way to Doha with Israeli team and trying to come to some sort of position. And what has just also been reported late last night is extending phase one for another 60 days to get out 10 living hostages. I just want to remind your listeners
mm-hmm.
that there are 59 hostages still there, 58 of them that were taken on October 7th, one that was there, you know, Hadar Golden mm-hmm. from years before.
2014.
Correct. 24 mm-hmm. are perceived to be alive, 35 are dead, that have been reported internally in Israel. And by getting out an additional 10 of which an American is still presumed alive. And the real groundswell is the precarious situation of which these hostages are held and their and how life-threatening it is. We based on our own eyes and on the reports of the brutality of which the remaining, by the way, are men who are of army age. So the reports are have been very brutal of been the conditions of which they've been held.
What's strange to me is surely Hamas knows that they can gain a greater price from living hostages. They have the ability to look after them a little bit better if they chose to keep them alive.
Oh, certainly, because frankly, if they let out all their hostages, then they have no leverage afterwards. Yes. So to keep them alive, well, you listen, we thought, let's split into two things. To keep them alive, they're such monsters, they've killed babies by strangulation and their mother. Right. They don't care about PR and how they're perceived. And who's making the decision. So that's one thing, you know, yes, their stock goes up. But then again, what Trump is doing is he's leveraging his relationships more widely. And what I've heard even from hostages' families, where they felt under the Biden administration a lot of empathy, but from across the board, the hostages' family said things only started when Trump got in there talking tough, yet having full spotlight on this issue, and things started happening. Now, if you are ultimately, if Hamas wants any future in Gaza, to survive, wherever it is, Trump is not, at this point, is not going to last. Now, everybody wants in Israel now, there's this groundswell of get them all out now at one shot, not the drip, drip, drip.
Right, right.
And that is something that has been very difficult.
Corey, I do need to end it here because we are heading to 9 o'clock. That's the end of the show. We are on from 6 to 9. Corey Baradash, thank you. As always, very interesting perspective and one that certainly is worth thinking about. Co-chair of the Republican Party in Israel, talking about the second phase of the ceasefire.